is with us, BradPowerSports.com. I'll let you know how you can get all of his information, his newsletter, his VIP, all of that could be sent to your email. You got to order, though. We'll let you know how to do that. Brad, first question from Jason down in Alabama. Does Bama cover the number versus the Vols, or is there more value in taking the over?
I lean towards the Alabama side. I mean, although money has come in on Tennessee throughout the course of the week, I mean, I'm just going to keep it simple. I mean, obviously, not only has Nick Saban won 14 straight against Tennessee, he's also 10-4 against the number in those 14 games, covering by 6 points per game. I just think, you know, people, a lot of the math guys love Tennessee. They don't do the little things well. And if you don't do the little things well against Alabama, sure, it might look good for a while there, but I am going to take Alabama, who I think is on a mission from this point forward. That's the lean there. I would also lean with the over.
And, Brad, the number, and I haven't looked in a day. Last time I looked, it was around 24.5. Is it similar to that now, this morning?
Yeah, Alabama 25.
This looks like a Mississippi State-Alabama outcome to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee will be able to score maybe a little bit more, but, yeah, I see Alabama having their way, obviously, with Tennessee's defense. So it'll just be the question is, you know, how successful can Tennessee's offense be? But, I mean, Alabama last week was one of my top plays of the week, and there was nothing from that performance that said that I wasn't right and I didn't downgrade Alabama my power ratings. Again, this isn't – you know, Alabama has no room for error from this point forward, and to me that makes them dangerous.
Brad, I know that looking back on a successful bet and wishing you put more on it, meaning just anybody, wishing, man, I should have put more on it, that was a lock, can be very dangerous. It can be that way in the stock market, too. That's a very dangerous mindset. But having laid that out, Alabama coming off a loss and that Mississippi State game, was that the lock of the year to date, or would you place others ahead of that?
You know, I had two that really jumped off the page last week. And you know, I show all my bets in my newsletter each week, and I'm usually a nickel and dime guy. But, you know, Colorado State and Alabama last week, I mean, I bet 3,000 on each of those at the open. So, I mean, to me, at least from the last month, they really stood out to me. I can tell you this, Bill. There's probably 10 bets in the FCS each week that I bet. You know, I wish I could bet, you know, $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 on each week. But in the FBS, yeah, I would say Alabama and Colorado State last week were two of my favorite bets that I made, at least in the last month.
PTS Lax says, in West Lafayette this weekend, thoughts on Purdue, Wisconsin?
Well, I circled Wisconsin as a team I wanted to bet in the game. The problem is, I mean, they opened 5. Some early money came in on Purdue, and then, you know, we saw some sharp money actually come in on Wisconsin once the line dropped to 3 about a day or so ago. Man, 3.5 with a low total on the road with a Wisconsin team that routinely – the box score looks better than the scoreboard. I mean, every single week this team, you know, should be covering point spreads, and they're not. I lean Wisconsin, but again, laying 3.5 with a total of 40.5 just isn't my ideal situation.
Along the lines, Brad, of what I was just talking about, looking back, wishing you to put more money on it, which can be very dangerous, I've got a saying that I wish I had a plaque for. I'm going to get a plaque made for my office. And the saying goes like this: control your euphoria. And in the stock market, let's say you're on a hot streak, that's very dangerous because it will allow you mentally to do something really stupid with the money you've been accruing, doing well. I know it's very similar in the betting game. And the gambling game. You'd know more about this than anybody else. How do you temper yourself if you're on a hot streak?
Oh, I mean, obviously, it's tough. I mean, because you're taught when your bankroll increases, I mean, you should theoretically, you know, increase your betting size. Now, obviously, within reason.
Sure.
So, there's certainly a fine line there. But, I mean, if your bankroll is bigger, you should be wagering more, period. I mean, that's just – if you feel like you have an edge, I mean, you're not doubling up or so to say, but you're increasing your betting size. So, I mean, it's definitely a fine line. I mean, people not only – get overconfident. I've seen it time and time again in this industry, and end up flaming out. Maybe it doesn't catch up with them that year, but it usually does. But also, people in this industry more than anything chase losses. I mean, it's unbelievable. You had a bad Saturday and Sunday. You're chasing on a Monday night football game because you got to settle up with Guido on the street corner on Tuesday. I mean, I just see it time and time again. I would say more than anything, money management gets almost the best of everybody out there. I mean, there's a major reason why, you know, it's only 1% of people, and I think it's even less than that, actually win in sports betting.
Yeah, chasing losses is so dangerous, and I would say almost all the time ends up making things significantly worse.
Betting money that you don't have, I just don't do it. And so right. Many people listening right now to think, you know, it sounds like an extra, you know, money they could have on the table. I would treat sports betting, if you're not going to set aside, you know, some time and make it like a part-time job, I would just go totally recreational. I would treat sports betting like going to the movies. That $50 to $100 that you have, just, you know, you might as well say, hey, you're going to lose it. And it's just going to be another form of entertainment. I think a lot of people have just unreasonable expectations in it. And, you know, it catches up with them, whether they're running bad or running good. People just don't manage their money appropriately.
Jason, Hawkeye Jason, ask Brad about Ohio State -21 over Indiana. He says, to quote Keith Jackson, Indiana is a wounded goose this season.
Yeah, I mean, they were, you know, coming off with probably their, I think, best season since the late 60s last year. And I think the major thing with Indiana wasn't that they were necessarily overvalued. I mean, they played arguably the toughest schedule in the country so far. I mean, obviously it's not getting any easier on Saturday night. I want to bet Ohio State in the game, but, I mean, it's priced in with Ohio State, you know, playing much better as of late. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, Ohio State's laying like 14 or 15 against Rutgers. Now they're laying 21 against Indiana. And the reality is, even with Indiana being disappointing so far, their power rating is ahead of Rutgers. So, I mean, I don't think Ohio State's cheap at this point, laying 3 touchdowns on the road.
By the way, speaking of that game, Josh up in London, Ohio says, Brad, I put $1,500 down on the Buckeyes, and he got -19.5. Wants to know if you think that's a good play.
Yeah, anytime you get the best of the number. It's positive EV, meaning, you know, it's not flipping coins. So, I mean, a point and a half around that number, you know, you're probably expectation for winning. It's probably in the 55% range on something like that. So, I mean, you got to, maybe it's 56% or so. So, I mean, look, you make enough 56% type bets on a yearly basis. I mean, that's how you turn into a joke, into a pro. So, yeah, I think that's a good bet.
Johnny Vegas down on the Emerald Coast. He says, Brad, on paper, Oregon and Mario look elite, but on the field, they look a little above average. What am I missing with Oregon?
Well, I think he's not missing. That assessment's pretty much true. I mean, X's and O's wise, Mario Cristobal just, you know, that doesn't do it for me. You know, certainly didn't do it with his former offensive coordinator. It's now the head coach at UNLV. Joe Moorhead's a little bit better X's and O's wise, but, I mean, Oregon, to me, plays the level of their competition. We've seen one outstanding performance from the Ducks this year, you know, the win over Ohio State and Columbus. And then the other 5 games, though, they didn't cover any of those other 5 games. They're 1-5 against the number. Something tells me, though, even though my numbers say UCLA deserves to be the favorite here, I got to look at talent. I mean, I think Oregon's going to be much motivated here. I think the Ducks will go into Pasadena in the Rose Bowl and win tomorrow.
You think they end up 11-1 regular season?
No, they'll get tripped up again. Somebody will get them. I think they got a game at Utah on the rest of their schedule. They're just not consistent enough for me to go 11-1, Bill.
We were talking earlier on and off last couple of days about the Big Ten East. And we're about to sift through that, Brad, because you got Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan. They still have to mix it up and play, right? And over the next several weeks, we're gonna sift out that division, which has been a very good division this year, but we're about to find out the truth among that group.
I mean, yeah, no question. I mean, next week is huge. I mean, Michigan State, and Penn State, Ohio State doesn't get any bigger than that as far as, you know, any division in college football. But, I mean, look, Michigan State's been one of the biggest surprises. Even Michigan's been a relatively surprise so far this season. And then that'll sort itself out as the two teams play a little bit stronger competition. You know, Penn State's really up against it after the loss against Iowa. They can ill afford another loss. And then, you know, the Buckeyes, to me, I mean, I have them number three in the country. And if they just play to their talent level and ability, I mean, I still expect, you know, the Ohio State to come out of it when it's all said and done.
Brad, before the break, I want to update the spreads, the what-if games. Georgia-Ohio State, I know I've asked you this before, but today what would be the number?
I'd have Georgia minus 6.5.
Georgia-Alabama.
Georgia won.
Alabama-Ohio State.
Alabama 5.5.
And would those teams, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, all be favored over Oklahoma?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to put in perspective, Ohio State 3, Oklahoma's 4. I would have Ohio State about a 4.5-point favorite over the Sooners.
There you have it. Okay. We'll get the break. More Brad as we continue. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still limping along as we check it out live here on 40 westbound here at Highway 70 out on the west side at Bellevue. It's got like 30 different names, Highway 70, McCroy Lane, Bellevue exit. Again, nevertheless, it's still running really slow because of that truck that flipped out there on 40 westbound. Starting to build pretty good through Mount Juliet on I-40. All the traffic coming in from Wilson County. Princess Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chug, your on-time traffic.
Hey, this is George Plaster. As some of you know, I've set up the Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Night presented by Gish Sherwood and Friends Monday night, November the 29th at Hermitage Strike and Spare. Proceeds from the event will benefit Last Minute Toy Store and the Martha O'Brien Center. Those are two charities that I am really excited about. Here's the way you can get involved. Simply go to celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. Again, celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. There will be a 6 to 8 p.m. shift and an 8 to 10 p.m. shift. You select which shift you want to be in. Each foursome will play two games, and each foursome will be paired with two different sports celebrities. Cost is $200 per person or $800 for a foursome. I'm not promising great bowling, but what I am promising is a fun event you will never forget.
Hello, this is Greg Pogue. The first time I met Tim Leeper, owner of Tim Leeper Roofing, I didn't know I needed a roof on my home, but I recalled meeting Tim as a huge supporter of Hope Hines' annual charity golf tournament, and upon further research at timleeperroofing.com, that his long-based mid-state company was a former recipient of Roofing Contractor of the Year in Tennessee. Now in these trying times, we all should seek a comfort level personally and professionally. So if you have roofing issues, either residential or commercial, I recommend Tim Leeper Roofing. Please give them a visit at Tim Leeper Roofing. roofing.com.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always B, B, C. Closing, always be closing.
A, B, C. A, always B, B, C. Closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs around 66 for tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 40s. Sunshine for Saturday, highs in the low 70s. Saturday night, partly cloudy, slight chance of rain, lows 57. Sunshine for Sunday, highs near 80. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, this is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Brad Powell's with us. BradPowellSports.com. Practical Picks says, Brad, what do your power ratings say on Wake Forest Army? He goes on to say, I thought for sure that line would move by now.
Yeah, I'm wondering in what direction. I like Wake. I mean, I think this is one where the market's probably a little too cute. A lot of people like an Army. I mean, I like the fact that Wake's off a bye. Extra time to prep for the option. They only have Duke on deck. I mean, you got an undefeated Wake team. I think they're focused in this one, and that's pretty much half the battle when you're playing a service academy. And they're also well-coached, too. So, I mean, I just think that's worth a point or so in itself. And look, Wake hasn't been overwhelming so far in the statistical category, but I mean, that's why the line's only 3 here. I just think the Demon Deacons, go on the road and get the job done here. It's one of my favorite plays of the week, Wake -3.
Also has another question. He says, Brad, do you think LSU gets back to losing? I can still get -7.5 on Ole Miss.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, some money just came into the market as I was doing this show on LSU. And keep in mind, Matt Corral, I mean, there's questions on whether he's going to, how healthy he is or whether he's going to play or not. So anytime you start seeing a move in the direction of LSU, I'd be very, very leery of betting Ole Miss in this one just because of Matt Corral's status. And I can tell you this, during the commercial break just now, I bet LSU +9. And it wasn't for $5 either.
So you got 9.
Yeah, you just shop around. You just look at go to the free odd screens at some of these websites out there and shop around. I mean, that to me, that I could talk the hours and hours and hours, but if I say this time and time again, just shop around. Find the best of the number. There's a couple places with 9 available on LSU.
Because, Brad, I'm just assuming most bettors have an app nowadays, but they just bet off that one app, whatever company that might be. Yeah. We're related to FanDuel here, but it could be any company. But they don't shop. They just stick with their one app and whatever team or whatever game they like, they just bet it that way. Wouldn't you think that would be most people?
Yep, it is. It just is. Just I don't know if it's pure ignorance or laziness, but I mean, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter every time the extra put. You know, we mentioned somebody bet Ohio State -19.5, and it's up to 21. That doesn't matter every single game. And does that mean that Ohio State's a guaranteed win? No, but it matters. Let's say 1 out of 20 times, Bill. 1 out of 20 of your bets, it matters that extra half point and a half comes
right
into play.
Right.
Well, you do the math. I mean, you're flipping coins 10 and 10. I mean, in 20 picks, 50%. You're losing money because you're paying the juice. But because you got the best of that number in that one game, your record goes to 11 and 9, 55%. 55% is how you become a professional in this industry. That's it.
Rob and the 210 wants Brad an update on the Heisman odds and who are your favorites.
You know, I haven't looked lately. I've seen obviously Caleb Williams is down to 13-1 in some spots. he didn't play for 4.5 games. That's stunning if he's able to pull that come from behind. Matt Corral has been the favorite, but we'll see if he plays this week. And then, I also question, is Ole Miss going to win enough games for him to win the Heisman? And then Bryce Young was sitting there at number two, relatively close. So Matt Corral was right around 2-1. Bryce Young was in a similar price range. The guy I like and bet in the summer, and I'm still very comfortable with my ticket, and I don't say that very often when I have 40-1, but I bet C.J. Stroud for Ohio State, who's got 10 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, going to play in a bunch of marquee games down the stretch here. And if he puts up monster numbers, I'm not saying it's going to be a winner, but I feel very comfortable with him being in New York. With a 40-1 ticket, I feel pretty good about C.J. Stroud from the Buckeyes.
Perry Mason down in Lake Placid, Florida. Ask Brad, and this is for the following week, why Georgia is only favored by 7 over Florida. Is that the number?
I have not seen that. If it is, then I'm going to have to get some money. I mean, DraftKings right now puts look-ahead lines up, and I see 14 is the number. And I'm looking at a live odd screen right now, and at DraftKings I see Georgia minus 14, which I think is totally fair. I think my power rings have a 15.5 on Georgia, but, for a rivalry, whatnot, I would bet Georgia. I mean, Florida at 14, at 15.5, so 14 sounds good to me. I mean, that's about where I'd make it. So if he's able to get down on 7 – let me know. I'll help him out.
Yeah, Perry, wherever that is, let us know.
Yeah.
Anyways, Jay Cutler's burner account. Brad, MTSU is going to Connecticut tonight. Huskies off a huge win over Yale. Does MTSU stand a chance to cover 15?
I think it's a little expensive. I think it's priced in the fact that Middle Tennessee's off a bye, Connecticut short week, and probably celebrating a win. I mean, that sounds great from a handicap, but I'm here to tell you it looks like it's priced into that number because not just my power ratings, but there's websites out there that track any major power rating out there. We're talking 40 or 50 of them, and they do like an average, of the power ratings. And actually, it comes out that Connecticut's one of the top plays from just a pure power ratings number in this one. So to me, that says that Middle Tennessee's a little expensive. And in fact, I lean with the dog tonight. Anything above 2 touchdowns, I lean with UConn.
Karen in Nebraska says, ask Brad about this. And it's an Anna Hickey tweet. And she does a really good job. She covers Clemson. Her tweet less than an hour ago, Clemson likely to be without 4 scholarship receivers, including multiple starters on Saturday, facing Pitt. And prior to this, Pitt was about a 3.5-point favorite, Brad, which will tell you about Clemson. And Pitt's had a good year. I guess that was the Western Michigan loss, but other than that, they've had a good year. But what do you make of this news here, and does that change an outlook as far as betting?
Yeah, so it's something that's, maybe – any individual receiver for Clemson's probably not moving a point spread, but we use the term in our industry as cluster injuries. And it's kind of to put it in simple terms, it's a situation where 1 + 1 = 3. Meaning that, once you start having several guys going down a position group, then it is going to go from not affecting the point spread at all to all of a sudden being worth a point or so. And that'll be the case. I'll have to sit through and see who exactly is out for Clemson. But that to me, I would shop around and bet Pittsburgh then at that point at -3. It's still available. And also, one thing that the market will be a little short on from reacting to that news, they're going to bet the side first. But I would say, that jeopardizes Clemson's offense. So I would also make a small bet. And these are small bets here. On this information type of thing, I would make a small bet on under 48.
Jordan up in West Lafayette, Indiana, and you talked about this one earlier. He probably missed it, so give him the Cliff Notes. Purdue plus +3 against the Badgers.
Well, he can get 3.5. So if he wants to bet Purdue, make sure you're getting 3.5 and not bet plus +3. I lean Wisconsin, though. I think it's a bad spot for Purdue off the big win over Iowa. But, again, I thought the number would be a little shorter than this. I thought I was going to be betting Wisconsin and be one of my favorite bets of the week. I bet numbers, not teams, and I'm not wild about the 3.5, but I do lean with the Badgers.
Ryan has an interesting question. This one's very interesting. Says, Brad, you've got $10K that you've got to bet. And here's the bet. Who will win more national championships in the next 10 years? Ohio State, Georgia combined, or the field? $10K.
Yeah, I'd take the field and wouldn't have to think about it too much. I just, you know, you're talking about, look, Ohio State and Georgia, I mean, I think you picked the right two teams to make that prop bet, so to say, for the next 10 years. But you're also talking about Georgia and Ohio State programs that won a combined 3 national titles in the last 50 years, and now you're expecting them to win 6 in 10 years. I'll take the field, and I think they would be a sizable favorite.
Here's the other question. I'd like to know if Nick Saban's coach in the next 10 years, too, just to comfort me on that bet.
Well, I would put a monster bet on the under 10, but he's probably going to be coaching 4-5 of those years. So, certainly that's not great. And some of these other programs, I mean, while recruiting, are starting to pick up their game a little bit. So, and then also the playoffs. I mean, it's going to be tougher to win national titles. Instead of winning, you know, a couple games, you now you got to win 3-4, depending if they expand it or not.
I want to go back to the Clemson topic. Is this just a one-year you do to have a downer, or is this a symptom? Is there something now wrong with Clemson?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pound the table and say, it just is a one-off, because, I mean, there's been some symptoms, especially on the offensive line, that have, you know, creeped up a little bit last year in a few of their games. So, I mean, from a recruiting aspect, they should be fine. When you look at the conference that they're in, they should be fine. But, yeah, who knows? I mean, they have dramatically dropped this year, and there wasn't necessarily, other than losing Trevor Lawrence, and obviously Travis Etienne. I mean, defensively, and they have performed up to snuff on the defensive side of the ball. But, I mean, offensively, even losing two generational-type players like that, it still doesn't excuse them for how bad they've been on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, I that's, to me, the question mark is that the offense really worries me moving forward.
It does me, too. And look, I know all the injuries we've talked about, et cetera, but I don't see the magic wand for next year either. Now, we got a long way to go to get there, but quarterback DJ Uiagalelei has not been very good this year. I don't know what their situation looks like. I know their personnel running back. They're playing Will Shipley, the true freshman. He's had some injuries too. But I just don't know if I have a lot of faith in that offense, Brad, if we're looking distant either. It worries me.
I don't see any redeemable stuff right now about their offense. And I mean, I downgrade Clemson more than any team in the country, and I can't downgrade them quick enough. I mean, they haven't covered a point spread yet this year, Bill. I mean, it's been brutal. And obviously they're an underdog this week, and, you know, other teams are starting to smell blood in the water. I mean, every game's close no matter who they're playing. It's such a big drop that I just can't say, oh, it's an outlier, when it's game after game, week after week, where they're struggling.
Here's another one from Ryan. What's your most undeserving win, Brad? You won a game and somehow you're just so lucky it's not even funny.
Oh, wow, that's a good question, because you tend to remember – well, don't tend. I know I remember the losers more than I remember the
sure.
winners. I'll have to think about that one during a break and think, but I could probably give you 10 losers first before I could give you a winner. That's just human nature, I think.
Brad, I had a – this is years ago. This was late 80s. I had it, and I can't give you the specifics because I don't remember. I had a Georgia Tech. It was an ACC game, Georgia Tech somebody, and I don't remember. And there was a minute to go, and it was a for sure loser. And Georgia Tech scored two touchdowns in a minute, not one. That's all I remember.
Wow.
Yeah, and again, I don't remember. I can't give you the spread. I just remember it was. I mean, I had even forgotten about it. And I remember looking back, and this is when you had the ticker machines, right, in the newsrooms. And I was at the station, and I would just follow the scores on the ticker, and then we had the TVs on. But those tickers would be going the whole time. And I remember looking at the final, I said, that can't be right. That's got to be a mistake. Because I wasn't even watching that game in real time. And it was a winner. Now, I've got plenty of, you know, bad stories too, but that's probably the most undeserving. Somehow, they scored a touchdown, and then they scored another one on the last play of the game on, like, a turnover. That's how I won. It was stupid. It just silly.
Hey, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
That may happen to you once in 100 years. You know, I mean, it's just – it usually doesn't work in your way. Okay, Irish Bill. Down on the Emerald Coast, let's get to it. Saturday night, South Bend, Indiana. Notre Dame's been off a week. Southern Cal coming to town. And Notre Dame, last time I looked, Brad, you can correct me, about -6, 6.5.
Yeah, most places are 7 now.
Okay.
I think Notre Dame's probably the right side. I mean, it's kind of a high-variance game. I mean, SC one week looks like they should for considering their talent level. And then, I mean, the next week they just look god-awful. I mean, Notre Dame, at least offensively, on the offensive line, started to show some signs of improvement against Virginia Tech. They're capable of running the ball. Michael Mayer's back at tight end. I trust Brian Kelly more than I do an interim coach who with extra time to prep. I mean, a really big recruiting weekend for Notre Dame, as big as they've had in years. I lean Notre Dame, but it's nothing. I'm kicking myself. Notre Dame opened 4 on Sunday, and it's all the way down at the bottom of the rotation. I just didn't get to it fast enough.
More Brett as we continue, and we will let you know when we're coming back about how you can get all this information. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still limping along out here, and from the looks of it, it's going to be that way for a while as they try to upright that truck that flipped earlier this morning on 40 westbound out here in Bellevue, just past Highway 70. Again, we're looking at it live right now. It's just creeping along down through here, and we're just really grateful that it wasn't eastbound or would have backed it up all the way into Dixon County. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. You can always order online at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chief. Talk with your on-time traffic.
Over the last several months, you've heard me talk about golf, and in particular, Riverside Golf Links. It's at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. Earlier this summer, I went out and played, and I found out for sure that the things I've been saying to you in the commercial were absolutely true. So I want to take this and go one step farther. As the weather gets a little bit cooler, you might think about next year in golf, tournaments you might be involved in, tournaments you might set up. Let me strongly suggest Riverside Golf Links. I did this with a friend earlier, and they got it all set up, and they'll be playing a tournament next year. They've got 27 holes. You can simply go to riversidegolflinks.com or give them a call, 615-847-5074. It's golf the way you want it at Riverside Golf Links.
Hey, Nashville, get ready to party Smashville style. On February 26th, the Nashville Predators will make history with the first ever outdoor NHL game in Tennessee.
as they host the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series. The Preds will take on the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning in front of 70,000 rockin' fans. Visit nhl.com/stadium series tickets.
We prevent engine problems by changing the oil in our car. But when it comes to our hearts, we often wait until there's a problem. Why wait for problems when you can be preventative? Soltea is a patented tea extract that can help reduce cholesterol and help maintain heart health. I have friends who have been taking Soltea for years, and the results have been remarkable. And they owe it to Soltea. Don't wait for a problem. Come to soltea.com/radio and start taking care of your heart today with a special 25% discount exclusively at soltea.com/radio.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whether you like Alabama or not, you're witnessing an unparalleled, unprecedented run. You're living it. You're watching it. You have memories that are deep of it. To be that dominant, you don't get to see that through the years that much. But this right here is crazy. This right here is off the chart. Can't believe it's happening, and they're not slowing down.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
All right, going to reel off a bunch up here and try and squeeze them in. Hey, Brad, before I do that, though, I was remiss. Tell everybody how they can get your information.
Yeah, bradpowersports.com, dead top of the page. Click on the Bill King tab. You can download all past issues of my newsletter. Even the last few weeks are up there. I put them up there yesterday. So you can download that first for free. If you like what you see, sign up. Newsletter $69 for the rest of the season. Email to you each and every Wednesday. NFL and college best bets, write-ups on every single game.
Josh wants to know, what would the spread be if today in Council Bluffs it was Vanderbilt versus UMass?
Vanderbilt would be about, I'm looking, maybe 14-point favorite over UMass.
Johnny Vegas.
Maybe 13.
Johnny Vegas asks, down on the Emerald Coast, Pitt or NC State or Wake, if any of those went out, would they have a chance to make the playoffs?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, obviously Wake would. I mean, because they'd be unbeaten. The other two, not as much because they already have one loss. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of other things to shake out. But, you know, certainly Wake, if they went out and unbeaten, an unbeaten Power 5 champion is going to the playoff. I don't care if it's, you know, Alabama or Wake Forest.
Sam says he got LSU in that Ole Miss game plus 9.5 at Sugar House. That's a pretty good bet, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and keep in mind, when I saw the line moving, it was at offshore places, so, you know, places far away where bigger bets are taken. And right now, at those places where bigger bets are taken, I mean, we're looking at 7.5. So, I mean, as late week, the moves you're looking for late week, to me, are big money moves. It's not the public, you know, sitting here at this time in the morning on a Friday betting, making, you know, big bets on LSU. So, to me, I made the bet, so, and I'm not going to have any regrets. I'll just put it that way.
Hawkeye Jason says, I saw where Kansas is 114-1 against the spread in their last 16 games, third worst since 1995. Should I use some John Daly pizza money on Oklahoma minus 38.5?
I think this is also their biggest, you know, underdog role in that time. I didn't bet the game. And you know me, Bill, I'm not afraid to make 30 or 40 bets, even early in the week.
Right.
So I didn't bet it. I mean, to me, it's a relatively fair number. But obviously, it shows you, you know, Kansas is the worst Power 5 program in the country. I mean, it doesn't matter who's coaching there. They haven't covered a point spread yet this year. So, sure, why not? If you gave me $20 and said which way to bet, I'd bet Oklahoma.
Don't want to get too far down the road here without going Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Your thoughts there?
Wanted to bet Iowa State. I just think the difference between the market now and 20 years ago, probably Iowa State's laying 3 or 4 20 years ago. Now they're laying 7. I mean, I have Iowa State number 7 in my power ratings. So they got 2 losses, but, you know, statistically, those should have been 2 wins when you outgain your opponent by 200 yards in both of those games. So Iowa State is appropriately priced, should be a 7-point favorite. And in fact, I actually lean with the Cyclones in this game.
Couple more here. Coach Marshall, is Mississippi State beat up enough for Vanderbilt to have a chance to hang in the game?
Yeah, I think so. I would probably lean, you know, early in the week, I was probably maybe leaning Mississippi State, but after reading the injury report, you know, I would lean with Vanderbilt plus 20.5.
Royal Payne, LSU Ole Miss, over under 79.5. Under seems like a big play again, he says.
Yeah, I mean, if he could find 79.5, because, I mean, the market right now is 76.5. And keep in mind, I will say this, if Matt Corral ends up being out, obviously the side market's going to adjust big time. What's slower to adjust is the total. So, I mean, if you can't get, like, LSU plus 9, you want to take the under. I think, to me, that sounds like a pretty decent bet. And nothing's a guarantee, but I think it's you make enough of those bets over the course of the season, you're winning instead of losing.
Obviously, we all watched the Ole Miss-Tennessee game. But when I looked at the stat sheet, I didn't realize, and I know Matt Corral had a bunch of carries. Brad, he carried it 30 times in that game. I was astonished.
200 yards. That's unbelievable.
I mean,
he was the entire team. I mean, they are really banged up at receiver. They've had running backs in and out of the lineup. I mean, he deserves to be right there in the mix as the Heisman favorite. I just wonder, you know, is he going to be healthy the rest of the season? Obviously. And he's not Cam Newton. He's not 6'5", 250. So, I mean, there's a reason why he's banged up. And even if he does play, he's not going to be 100% on Saturday.
Imagine him Sunday morning trying to roll out of bed.
couldn't imagine it. But, I mean,
carries.
He's young. No matter what happened to you, you know, the late nights at the bar on Thursday and Friday, your recovery rate was a lot better at 21 than it is once you get into your 30s and 40s, Bill.
No, that's true. That's true. Brad, we will let you out the door. Tell everybody one more time how to get your stuff.
BradPowerSports.com, dead top of the page. Click on the Bill King tab. Newsletter, $69 for the rest of the season. If you're interested in the VIP, that is daily VIP updates. You can also check that out at BradPowerSports.com.
See you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Bill.
There he is.